Kings chapter 2. I'm working on a transition from Elijah to Elisha in our study of the Old Testament. So I want to start with a statement that, a question that Elisha makes at the time of Elijah going to heaven in a dramatic way. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, by way of introduction. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. And Elisha saw it. Okay, so again, this is right after Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. That's a symbolic action of mourning in this culture. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, notice the question, this is what we're focusing on here tonight, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, notice they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're actually going to review just a little bit here, just as we work on the answer to that question. But while you're turning there, let me mention, I forgot I was going to mention this verse here. Psalm 68, verse 4, in relation to the name of Elijah. The name of Elijah means, my God is Jehovah, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, my God. So my God is Jehovah, and the last part of his name, J-A-H, is a short name of Jehovah. And related to that is Psalm 68, verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, J-A-H, all capital letters in the King James Bible, and rejoice before him. So my God is Jehovah. So again, I'm asking the question tonight, where is the God, Lord God of Elijah? Again, you notice here in chapter 17, 1 Kings 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? So first of all, you notice here, he's described, as we've seen before, the Lord God of Israel before whom I stand. So notice he's standing before the Lord God, and of course he announces this to Ahab, a wicked king. But I want you to notice also in verse 2, it says, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Now what I want to remind you is the word of the Lord in many cases is not just a message, but it could very likely be the Lord Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. Remember, he's the Word, John 1:1, and other places, even as we see in the book of Genesis, even the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. So again, I want to emphasize these things. But as far as chapter 17, I want to emphasize some things related to Elijah's God. First of all, supernatural provision. Supernatural provision, of course, in this chapter, as we've already seen, the book Kereth, and as he's fed by ravens. And I was reminded as I was listening to something today, ravens do not normally share. So this is a supernatural provision from God. Literally, ravens, which what I think is also interesting, is ravens are in the list of unclean birds in the Old Testament. So I think the Lord basically told Elijah, don't doubt my supply here. And so again, God provides in a miraculous way. Also then, we see in verse 9, after the word of the Lord again came to him in verse 8, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. So it's very interesting, even as we see here this supernatural protection that we'll talk about here in a moment. But the Lord sends him to Zidon, which is where Jezebel is from. So God protects him in the back door to Jezebel's family there. Who, and of course, remember, she's the daughter of a king, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow, a woman there, to sustain thee. So he had to go there in a certain place in order to have the Lord's provision. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her, said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord, notice, thy God, Jehovah, thy Elohim liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Remember, God was preparing this woman, along with preparing Elijah for this. Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, I want to point out here, if she had not listened to what Elijah said, she would have had that last meal and they would have died. Instead, God used this to provide for her and her son, her household as well. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord God sendeth rain upon the earth. So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And then even as we see at the end of this chapter, we see that on verse 17, it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. His sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I want you to consider also there was a supernatural provision of restoration to life here. It says, she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? So evidently there's something in her past she was guilty about. So obviously we see that there's comfort in that as well. Of course, Elijah says, give me thy son. And notice verse 20, his prayer. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? It says he stretched himself upon the child three times. I believe that's symbolic of prayer there. And cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God. Notice again how he describes his God. O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Notice Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. The woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. So again, we see the supernatural provision here from Elijah's God. So also, I want you to consider the supernatural power. Just for the sake of time, look at chapter 18, verse 36. Again, I'm just kind of surveying this reminder here tonight as far as the Lord God of Elijah. Notice verse 36 and following. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Of course, this is the challenge that Elijah, by God's instructions, and challenged the prophets of Ahab and so on. It says the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Remember, they're being forced to worship Baal here. So notice, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Notice again, he's emphasizing these things as far as the Lord God of Israel. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. Notice he's pleading with God that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Notice then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God, in contrast to Baal. Not Baal, notice the Lord God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Notice, let one of them escape. And notice it says, they took them. Notice the people finally stepped forward with boldness to take them. And notice Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Also related to this power, I believe we see some things in relation to answers to prayer. Even as we understand James chapter 5, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. How does he know that? As I was doing some looking at this as far as cross references, of course, Deuteronomy emphasizes that when Israel turned their backs on God, God would withhold the rain. So notice here, Israel is finally turning back to the Lord. And so I believe Elijah knew from Scripture, even as far as Solomon's prayer requests, the dedication of the temple, Elijah knew that there would be now a restoring of the rain once Israel has turned back to their Lord, to the Lord God. Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth. He put his face between his knees, notice, and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." Notice this persistent prayer, even as we see in James 5. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." All right, so we're talking about a small cloud. And so obviously throughout all this time of famine, there's not even been clouds in the sky to even indicate, oh, maybe rain today. And he said, "Go up and say it to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not." Notice this faith in what God is going to provide here. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And notice there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. All right, so Ahab is in his chariot. I love this supernatural power as far as Elijah, this expression of it. And it says, "The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." This is how I see it happening. It says, "The hand of the Lord was on Elijah." So God has got his hand on him, so God is helping him speed along faster than the chariot. God's hand, that's the way I read it. God's hand was on him, and he was supernaturally allowing Elijah to run ahead of this chariot. That's supernatural power. But I want you to think about the supernatural power that we need today as well. As you think about Elijah, he took a stand against the apostasy of his day. And as I was listening to some things here today, I was reminded that this is about 50 years after Jeroboam. So they've had 50 years of apostasy in their country. Can I remind you that America is very close to that? We've had decades of turning away from God. I believe this is something we need here today. Also in relation to wicked rulers, chapter 18, verse 17 and 18, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, 'Art thou he that troubleth Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam.'" So again, we see his stand against wicked rulers. He stood against these false prophets, verse 19 of chapter 18. "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered," notice, "all the prophets," gathered, well, not all of them, because four of them decided not to show up, the state prophets of Jezebel, "and gathered," notice, "the prophets together unto Mount Carmel." And again, as he's emphasizing this, standing against this compromise of Israel, verse 21, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, 'How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people answered him not a word." I believe we need supernatural power today in our nation to stand against the wickedness, the apostasy, and so on of our day. Also want you to consider the supernatural purpose in chapter 19. I believe one of the things that we have seen in chapter 19 is that Elijah got his focus off of the Lord God, his Lord God, and his focus was on Jezebel when she sends this threat towards him. And of course, Jezebel says in verse 2, "Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, 'Let the gods who were powerless, by the way, to answer by fire and all that, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' So when he saw that, he rose and fled for his life." But notice again, he goes to Judah. We don't see anywhere in Scripture here where God says, "I want you to go to Judah. I want you to, go there for protection," and all that. So again, the supernatural purpose. Here's what I want to emphasize with this. As we see in chapter 19, of course, verse 4, he goes himself a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. Now, when I see that in Scripture, when I hear that in real life today, in many cases, when somebody's talking like that, they've lost their sense of purpose. They've lost their focus for life. I want you to consider what God is doing here is to get his focus back on what he should be doing instead of running for his life, focusing on himself and all that. Of course, the angel of the Lord comes and provides for him some food that he can go 40 days and 40 nights. And that, wouldn't you love to have that recipe? Verse 9, it says, "And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. Behold, the word of the Lord." Notice again, the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the word that gives us the message. came to him. Notice, the word of the Lord, I believe this is Jesus Christ coming to him. And it says, he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Again, God is trying to redirect his focus and his purpose back to the ministry that God has given to him. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Now, he's telling the Lord Jesus, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Can I remind you, in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, is the Lord God of hosts. So he's telling the Lord Jesus, I've been jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Here's the angel of the Lord. Again, these are names, titles that in the Old Testament that Jesus Christ has given here. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now, I think the Lord knows exactly what's going on in Israel. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire, but after the fire, a still small voice, almost like a whisper. Notice the Holy Spirit is speaking through the word here, and it says, it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. And by the way, this is the mantle that we see later that Elisha ends up picking up and using. It says, went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and notice, behold, there came a voice, a still small voice, a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Again, he's talking to the Lord God of hosts himself. Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, again, he reminds the Lord of what's going on. And Lord, maybe you're not aware of what's going on here in Israel. Well, I guess I'm in Judah now, but you know what's going on in Israel. But notice it says here, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Notice the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. Notice he's restoring his sense of purpose. I've got a minister. I've still got work for you to do, Elijah. Why are you wanting to request that you die? Notice, go return on thy way to Damascus. And when thou comest, notice, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. The Lord is telling Elijah to go anoint the future enemy of Israel. In fact, you look at 2 Kings chapter 8. We'll eventually get there. 2 Kings chapter 8 says that Hazael is going to do some wicked, wicked things to the people of Israel. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. I wonder if Ahab knows about that yet. Notice, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, notice, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. You notice I skipped over that big long note. Abel-Mehola, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. You can sit there and just, you can snicker and you can laugh, and you know, preacher having trouble with some of these big long names, but Abel. I mean, that's Abel, part of the first, I don't have a nickname, Abel. Notice, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. All right, so notice, he's supposed to anoint Elisha and prepare him to become the next prophet of Israel. And shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu, notice, shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000. So here's the restoring of his focus here. I still have 7,000 in Israel in the northern kingdom. Notice he doesn't say in Judah. I still have 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Now, again, they may be secretly serving the Lord. He's emphasizing there's 7,000 who have not bowed the knee yet. Of course, then he goes to find Elisha, and he prepares him for, anoints him, and so on, prepares him for ministry. I also want you to notice here in 2 Kings chapter 1, as far as this supernatural protection from the God of Elijah, Ahab hunted for Elijah in all the surrounding kingdoms, and then he was in Zidon, where Jezebel was from. I think it's amazing the supernatural protection that God gave him. But here, as we move into 2 Kings chapter 1, as we prepare for the very end of Elijah's life and the beginning of Elisha's ministry, it's very interesting here as we have this account, and I've called this Elijah's final stand here in chapter 1 of 2 Kings. Notice it says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah, his son, fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, notice was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire, notice, not of the God of Elijah. Go inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. First of all, I want you to notice, he's called the God of Ekron, which is of the Philistines. Why is he going to the Philistines' God for this information? Second of all, notice he doesn't send for a healing. He sends for information. I think the God of Elijah is going to give some information better than these gods, false gods, but of course, they don't even believe in the God of Israel anymore. The angel of the Lord, I believe this is Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the God of Ekron? Notice the first part of that name, Baal. There's the whole key of it. The Baalim, these multi-gods we saw back in 1 Kings 18, verse 18. Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going to go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? You're going to go to the Philistines, the enemies of Israel? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. So he delivers the message, and he's gone. And when the messengers turn back unto him, he's surprised at how quickly they're back. Why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. Now, I forgot to look this up, but if I remember correctly, Beelzebub means God of the flies. Why would you reject the God of heaven to go to a God of flies? And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins, and he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. I hate that man. Notice the son is just like the father here. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. So, all right, so here's a captain, 50 men, and went up unto him. Again, the supernatural protection of Elijah here. And went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. Now, I want to point out some things here as we go through this famous story in the Bible. Notice he's addressing Elijah with the authority of the king. Thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. He's telling the man of God, you're supposed to come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. Our God is a consuming fire, remember? And there came down a fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, he also sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. Notice he's even emphasizing quickly. You're delaying the inevitable, Elijah. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. He again sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. Notice here this third captain got pretty smart here now. Notice the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him. Notice he's pleading with the man of God. O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50, thy servants, be precious in thy sight. Notice he comes humbly before Elijah, the man of God, instead of throwing around their authority from the king. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. Again, he's humble before the man of God. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah. Notice the angel of the Lord said unto, I have to believe this is the Lord Jesus. The angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron, Is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Why are you not inquiring, getting information from the God of Israel? You're the king of Israel, right? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. Well, he got his information, not quite how he was expecting to. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And notice, Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now, the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Now, as we title this together, I want for us again to consider this question. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'm asking that in relation to our day. Where is the Lord God of Elijah today? Israel was in apostasy for 50 plus years, as I said. A modern America. Modern Christianity is more apostate than we want to realize. In modern America, we need the Lord God of Elijah today. And remember one of the messages I had in the series of Elijah? It was entitled, The Spirit and Power of Elijah. We get so focused on miracles with the power of God in the Old Testament. Can I remind you that John the Baptist had the spirit and power of Elijah, and he did no miracle. It's not about the miracles. It's about the Lord God, Lord God of Elijah. And let me ask you, what about our trust in the Lord God? Are we trusting God for provision? Well, I have to do all these things because I may lose my job or whatever. Where's our trust? In corporate America? God help us. Or is it in the Lord God of Elijah? Supernatural provision. God can supply all that we need. Supernatural power. We need God's power again today to stand against apostasy, wicked rulers, false prophets, and the compromise of our day. Supernatural purpose. We need the purpose. God still has a plan and purpose for us to fulfill in these last days. What better time? You know, when it's getting darker and darker, what better time to be shining brightly for the Lord? And then last of all, supernatural protection. Are we trusting God as we take a stand for the truth? Are we trusting God to protect? Lord, I pray that you'd help us to even consider that question of Elisha after Elijah went to heaven. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And Lord, I wonder today, where is the spirit and power of Elijah in our day? Lord, we're not talking about miracles. We're talking about a trust that Elijah had in thee, O God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to strengthen our stand and our sense of purpose and, Lord, our trust in thee. In Jesus' name.